And joining me this morning is Tom Schmidt, who's the agronomist for Syngenta Seeds here in South Dakota. Good morning, Tom.
Morning.
Well, we're getting into February, and so as we move in the middle of February, we're going to see seeing some warm days, and guys are starting to think about maybe getting into the planting, especially a day like yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday's a lot nicer than today, but, you know, as I get out in the countryside and in grower shops and whatnot, I start to see planters being torn apart and rebuilt and all kinds of things, so won't be long and the season will be upon us.
Let's talk a little about that seed selection. What do you recommend when they're looking at some hybrids or varieties, and does it make a difference where they put them?
Oh, absolutely. There's substantial yield differences based upon selection. I always like to look at, first and foremost, yield environment. What kind of yield target are we looking at? What's the fertility of that soil? Yield history. What's the crop rotation look like? Insect disease, kind of the history of that field. What are we dealing with there? It can be a little complicated, and I highly recommend any chance that a grower can get to, consult with their seed advisor or their agronomist before planting. I'm doing quite a bit of that right now, this time of year, just kind of sitting down with guys and trying to help them understand, okay, put this hybrid here at this population and this kind of fertility level and whatnot. So I would recommend doing that as much as possible. With the market still kind of hanging, where they've been hanging the last couple of years, we got to do a lot of little things to make a difference. So,
are you seeing some of these guys maybe put more than one or two, three hybrids out there just to see how they work in the same field, doing a little testing themselves?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Actually, I do spend quite a bit of time with planters nowadays. There's other ones, there's certain brands out there that they can plant two hybrids at once and switch on the go. So we spend some time doing that too, trying to identify that soil type as we go across the field and kind of overlay their yield maps and whatnot to try to make a right prescription. So yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Just the little things, like I said, seem to be where the difference is at now. So
we start talking about planting dates, and looks like we're going to be kind of cold this spring anyway in some areas. When you start talking about planting days, what do you look for the conditions and what's too early?
You obviously got to watch your insurance date, and after that, if conditions are right, I'm kind of the school of thought to just go. There always seems to be a time frame in there where it feels like it's too early, I don't see a lot of those cases. I don't see an emergence problem or whatnot. But I'm the corn germination's at 50 degrees is when corn seed germinates. But with today's seed treatments and whatnot, we can squeeze that a little bit if we need to, if the conditions are right. I'm more of the school of thought that make sure the soil conditions are right before you go out there. Don't worry as much about the temperature. Do factor that in. It can't be terribly cold, but you have one chance to do it right. And if you go in there when it's a little wet or a little sticky or whatever, and it causes a lot of problems going forward. So make sure the soil conditions are right first and foremost is kind of my advice. So
look at Mother Nature, what she gives you, and less concern about what date it is.
Yeah, that's my thought. Obviously, like you said, you got to wait till after the insurance date covers everybody, and then go.
Yeah,
what kind of guys are doing? So,
well,
in my world, these guys that.
Oh, I was going to say, it seems like some of the earlier planted usually will do a little better job on yield on many years.
Yeah, there's lots of data that supports that planting date really affects yield, especially after you get into May. Once you get into May, things start tailing off pretty quick. So, if you got a chance, opportunity to do it, and towards the latter half of April, I'm darn sure get out there and get it in. So,
well, there's been an increase in corn rootworm pressure, I think, in the past few years. It's kind of been leading up. What advice do you have for these guys that might be considering corn rootworm, especially when we might be seeing a little more corn on corn?
Yeah, and that's the first question. I have been seeing corn rootworm creeping up over the last couple of years. I think a lot of it has to do with, with markets and things were depressed a little bit, and a little less traded corn was going out there. There's an uptick of conventional, and just lots of things that are, that are kind of help building that rootworm pressure back up out in the field. But first and foremost, if you can rotate, and if you're concerned about corn rootworm and you can rotate, do that. If that's not possible, I know guys need feed and all that, but there's some things that take care of some of those problems. So I would recommend, at a minimum, if you're concerned about corn rootworm, is use a dual mode of action corn hybrid if you can, and then even if you can't, then use a soil applied insecticide along with at least a single mode of action hybrid. So there's some things we can do to help manage that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of those, something now about soybean, the traits, herbicide traits on the market. There's quite a few of them out there. And how does a farmer sort through them, and how does he understand which one would be the best for him?
Yeah, that's kind of the million-dollar question right now. And there's just some things I think that need to be considered, when we look at that is we need herbicide trait options are there for a reason, and the biggest reason is to control the weeds, right? So we need to understand what our target weed and our problem weeds are in these fields, and the strengths and weaknesses of each of those programs to help try to match it up a little bit. You know, cost can be considered in there as well. I know there's some cost to control and whatnot, and different herbicide options are cheaper than others and whatnot. But there's a couple things I would keep in mind is, there's some of the newer trait platforms out there is also coincided with the brand new and highest yielding genetics available too. So guys need to consider that as well. But again, I would highly recommend, consulting with an agronomist in your area and then get some guidance. There's a ton of knowledge out there in the industry that can help guys sort through this a little bit. So that would be my advice.
Well, that technology's changing pretty rapidly, and not everybody can always keep up with what's going on, so keeping in close touch with your agronomist is probably a good idea.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're here for. So anybody needs anything, that's kind of what we do.
Tom, we have so many guys that we always say we lose as a lot of the yield early before we even get it planted than before it gets out of the ground. What tips do you have to give the farmers about getting that crop in and out as quickly as possible?
Yeah, there's probably the first thing I would do is, we have to look at genetics and the emergence of every hybrid and every variety has emergence ratings that are there to help kind of guide you. So if you're going out early, I would first planted field, I would select something highest quality seed with the best emergence, and I would never leave the farm without having a high quality seed treatment. I mean, for corn, it's kind of table stakes anymore because everything is treated with a very high quality seed treatment. But soybeans, there's a lot of options out there, and I would not leave the yard without a high quality seed treatment on my soybeans. This seems to make such a big difference on that early season, from a vigor standpoint and from just a disease standpoint. And we don't we put a lot of pressure on those seed treatments every year, and they seem to pull through for us every single spring. So that's probably my biggest advice.
And one problem we see once in a while is stand uniformity, and we're finding out that it makes a pretty good big difference in that final yield count, how uniform that seeding is.
Yep, exactly. And some of those problems could be as simple as planting conditions, soil conditions at planting time. It could be, planters have come a long ways in the last 20 years that I've been doing this, but they still have, they still wear parts on them and whatnot. So we need to keep inspecting those things on a regular basis to make sure that something isn't going on there too. So just a lot of little things can really change that stand. Like I said earlier, there's one chance to really do it right, and then you got to wait a couple weeks and for it to come up. And there's a lot of God, I hope it comes up, or hope we don't get anything that really messes this stand up. And then you got to go do it again. And then by the time that happens and that decision's made, there's a lot of yield that's been left on the table. So it's important to take the time and inspect what you expect and do it right. So.
Well, we know Mother Nature is going to play a role in all of this, and I guess you just got to see if you can try to at least work with her a little bit, and sometimes it takes planning.
Yeah, exactly. And we can't control the weather, but as much as we all try to, if I could, I wouldn't be here, and you probably wouldn't be doing this either. So, but yeah, do the best you can and make the decisions based on that, and hope the weather holds for you. So.
Well, with the depressed commodity prices, and hopefully they're coming back a little bit, but let's hope they can come back a little more. Nitrogen management guys are looking for cutting costs. Is there as far as getting optimum yield for, or I should say optimum price for the maximizing your yield, what do you have to give to the farmers as far as what they put into that nitrogen?
Yeah, so that question comes up a lot, and I think there's a lot of things to consider in a nitrogen management plan. You know, there's lots of different ways to do it. I'm kind of the school of thought, if it's possible and you can do it, you know, multiple applications are the way to go. You know, just there's a lot of it can upload and front load a lot of nitrogen in the spring, but from that day forward, depending on your soil type and weather, that stuff can leach and not be there when it's needed. A corn hybrid, a corn plant, you know, nitrogen use of when that plant actually needs that nitrogen is more towards tassel, not that emergence. So if we can do a second application, you know, in season in crop, you know, whenever we can, to get through that before row closure and whatnot, that's the best. That's always the best. And different hybrids react differently to that, and just depending on the genetics. You know, we pull genetic families in from all different parts of the world, and they all kind of have a different response to nitrogen and needs of nitrogen and all that too. So that's another thing. It's good to consult with an agronomist to understand that as much as you can, and obviously weather plays a factor in that too. I mean, if we can have a really wet late May, June or something and get several inches of rain, we've all seen that, and that nitrogen is gone.
Yeah.
And we need to keep an eye on that and understand that, and tissue sampling and all those things can certainly help somebody understand where their plant needs are at too. So but yeah, I would never suggest cutting corners. I mean, even though the markets are depressed and whatnot, nitrogen is the most important nutrient. Next to water is the most important thing one can do to raise a corn crop. So I would never recommend cutting corners on that. So,
well, you never know what Mother Nature may look dry like it did earlier last year, but come back and we come out of that pretty good with the yield. So these hybrids and varieties have a tremendous ability to compensate later in the year.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Corn genetics and soybean genetics, like I said, I've been doing this for close to 20 years now, and there's it's amazing how the breeding programs have improved and really have adapted and helped adapt to these changing weather conditions. And it seems like we scratch our head every fall and wonder how we got the crop we got sometimes when we get, you know, long periods of hot, dry or whatever. So things have come a long way, that's for sure.
Well, Tom, anything else you want to say? I know I've talked to you for a while, but anything else?
No, I just wish everybody a safe spring, and hopefully, I'll talk to you again before that. Hopefully everybody gets all the timely rains they need, and also that's a good thing. So.
All right, Tom, thank you very much. Tom Schmidt from the Mitchell area with agronomist with Syngenta Seeds. And Tom, thanks a lot, and I hope Mother Nature helps us out this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll see you.
Yep, bye.